himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, and I'd like to welcome you to our series entitled Padre Pio, the Priest Who Bore the Wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with a little greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. In the life of Padre Pio, we know that God gifted this extraordinary priest who lived in a humble way in southern Italy with many extraordinary gifts. And among them, we're going to look at four of them in today's presentation. Gifts like bilocation, the gift of fragrance, the gift of knowledge of the lives of people, prophecy, and also there was the gift of dealing with the souls in purgatory. Why did God gift this man with so many gifts? Well, because he had chosen Padre Pio to share with him in his suffering, the Lord Jesus. Padre Pio is bearing the wounds of the stigmata, suffering so many forms of physical and moral sufferings, that this drew him in to share with Jesus in the mission of bringing many souls to heaven. God does that. St. Paul said, I make up in my suffering, in my body, what is lacking in the suffering of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And certainly St. Paul drew many, many people to Christ. His writings are still inspiring people to follow Jesus. Let's look at some of these gifts. First of all, I'd like to look at the gift of bilocation. Now, that's a gift I wish I had. Bilocation means to be in more than one place at the same time. Now, if you have the problem that I have, being in the right place at the right time, you can appreciate being in two places at the same time. And I certainly would think that would be a wonderful gift. And Padre Pio did enjoy that gift. People claimed that they had seen Padre Pio appearing in all different places in the world. In a moment, we're going to look at some of those testimonies of people who said that they had experienced, you know, Padre Pio being near them. But I'd like to mention something. I remember a friar who was visiting San Giovanni Rotondo, where Padre Pio lived. And in the evening, a group of the friars was sitting around. Padre Pio was there. And they were discussing bilocation. And it's interesting. Each friar was giving his opinion. Well, it's this, it's this. Well, when Padre Pio began to speak, everybody kept quiet because they realized all the other friars were talking out of theory. This is what they think it's like. Padre Pio was talking out of his experience. They wanted to hear what somebody who had experienced it had to say. And there was an interesting thing in the course of the conversation. One of the friars said to Padre Pio, Padre Pio, would you take me with you in bilocation when you go in bilocation? And Padre Pio said to this friar, he said, well, I can assure that I'll get across the ocean, but I can't be sure you will be. You will. And the friar never asked him again. Now, what were some of those testimonies of Padre, you know, regarding Padre Pio's bilocation? Well, one story was of a man in Milwaukee whose son was a friar, Capuchin friar, who was helping Padre Pio there in San Giovanni Rotondo. Padre Pio had several friars from all different countries in the world to help him answer the many letters that he received, 5,000 of them, they estimate, every day. And he needed these friars to help him with correspondence. So there was a friar from the United States whose father was quite ill in the hospital. And it is said that Padre Pio appeared to this man in the hospital and I guess brought him the last sacraments. And as Padre Pio was coming out of the room of the sick man, he turned to go one way. The family was coming from the other direction. And they looked down the corridor and they saw the friar coming out. And they said it looked like Padre Pio. So they tried to catch up with him, but he had turned the corner and they couldn't find him. They went into the sick man's room And according to the story, as I heard it, they asked him, was there a friar here? And the old man who was sick in bed said, yes, Padre Pio came to give me the sacraments. So Padre Pio was seen there. He was seen. The very first case recorded of bilocation had occurred when Padre Pio brought the sacraments to a dying man up in Turin, Italy. And someone from Turin wrote a letter to the superior of Padre Pio, thanking him for sending Padre Pio up to Turin. They thought that the superior had actually sent him up there, but he had appeared in bilocation. I know he appeared on Long Island. Someone told me only recently that there was a sister who was quite ill, and the sisters in her community were praying. This particular sister had no particular devotion to Padre Pio, but must have been that one of the sisters praying did. And the sister was lying in bed, and all of a sudden she woke up and she sees this friar standing next to her. She became startled. Who is this man? And he blessed her, and she got better, and he left. And afterwards, she recognized from a picture that it was Padre Pio who had come to her in bilocation. One interesting story that I heard years ago was a story about a young man who had left home, and he maybe wanting to go out on his own. He got a job on a ship. He was going to be part of a passenger ship going across the ocean. And his mother was very devoted to Padre Pio. She hadn't heard from her son. She didn't know where he was. Was he okay? So she must have sent her guardian angel to Padre Pio to ask for his prayers. Padre Pio did pray. And not only did he pray for that young man, but he appeared on the ship. He came, you know, this young man was working on the ship, was about to leave to go across the ocean. And this friar came, and he started to talk to this young man. And he said to him, you know, how's your family? And he said, well, I don't know. I haven't been in touch with my mom for a long time. And the friar, who the young man didn't recognize him, said to him, don't you think your mother's worried about you, concerned? You should go home. You should find out how she's doing. Well, he gave up his job. He didn't leave on the ship. He returned home and he told his mother about this priest, this friar, who had appeared to, you know, come to him, is talking to him on the ship there. And he told him that his mother would be concerned. So he said, Mom, I'm sorry to cause you pain and wasn't in touch with you. But this, friar and priest told me I should come home and see how you're doing. So the young man walked into his mother's bedroom and there was a picture of Padre Pio. He said, Mom, that's the face of the priest, the friar who talked to me on the ship. So Padre Pio had appeared there in bilocation. Let me share with you what one author has put together, some cases of bilocation, very quickly. One involved a Colonel Russo of Caserta, who tells us that during World War II, he was a prisoner of war in a camp in India. Padre Pio came to visit the prisoners every night. He appeared in bilocation in the prison camp. When the war was over, many of these men, on coming home, went to San Giovanni Rotondo to thank Padre Pio. And Padre Pio knew each and every one of them. So he had been appearing while they were prisoners of war in India. Another example was the example of Father Don Orione, who himself was a holy man up for canonization. You know, he claims that he saw Padre Pio in St. Peter's Square in Rome for the canonization of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. In fact, he was seen not only at the canonization, but someone else saw him at the beatification, and he had appeared there. In fact, Father Don Orione was going up to him to say hello to Padre Pio, and he disappeared. Another example of bilocation was given the testimony by a man named Gaetano Pavoni, who was an engineer. He was a gunner in the American Air Force. And while flying over Mount Gargano, between the lakes of Verano and La Sina, he saw Padre Pio appear before him, covering the whole sky. He saw the figure of Padre Pio, an immense figure of Padre Pio in the sky. And for a long time, you know, he didn't want to talk about this incident. They turned those planes around and went back, and must have had a hard time explaining seeing some figure of a person in the sky. But for a long time, he wouldn't talk about this, you know, about this case. But his wife, on September the 23rd, 1968, the very day Padre Pio died, she talked about it, the experience of her husband during World War II. Another example, and this is very touching, of Padre Pio's bilocation is that they claim that he went to Budapest Hungary and brought Cardinal Menzenti everything he needed to celebrate Mass when the Cardinal had taken refuge there in the American Embassy. I had heard he brought everything Cardinal Menzenti needed to say Mass and serve the Mass to the Cardinal. And a final case of bilocation is that Padre Pio is known to have celebrated Mass for a group of sisters in a convent in Czechoslovakia. The sisters were so convinced of the reality of his presence that after the celebration of Mass, they went to thank him and offer him a cup of coffee. Imagine their surprise when they could not find the priest, who had meantime disappeared. So Padre Pio certainly enjoyed this gift of bilocation. I should mention to you one time, Father Alessio, who worked with Padre Pio, told us this story. Padre Pio was lying in bed, and he said whether winter or summer, when Padre Pio went to bed, he only had one sheet to cover him. Well, this particular night, he was shivering in the bed, and so they put a blanket on him. He kept shivering, they put a second blanket. He kept shivering, a third, a fourth, a fifth blanket, and he was still shivering. And they couldn't imagine what was going on until one of the friars offered this possible explanation. He said, probably Padre Pio was somewhere in the world where it was very, very cold, and that his body back at the friary was feeling that cold. So Padre Pio was probably bringing the sacraments to a dying person somewhere in the world. I should point out to you that some theologians believe that, speculate, that Padre Pio's ability at bilocation is something that will be part of the glorified body when we are glorified in heaven, that the same ability Padre Pio had, you know, would be the same ability of a soul in heaven. So this is one of his first great gifts. Another gift that Padre Pio had was the gift to pray for the souls in purgatory. He loved them, and many times God allowed these souls to come to him to ask for his prayers. And I'll give you just one little story that's told. Well, one night Padre Pio could not sleep. He went down to the chapel to pray. And while he was praying, he noticed at the altar a young brother who was cleaning the altar. But he didn't recognize who that brother was. Probably the next night or a few nights later, he went down to the chapel to pray a second time. And he noticed that young brother at the altar. And he was curious, since he didn't know who he was. He was wondering, what's he doing in the friary? And he went over to him. And he said to this young brother, who are you? And the brother said, Padre Pio, I was a novice here years ago, and I didn't do my job. I'm in purgatory, now doing my job as sacristan. Please pray for me. Padre Pio did. And you know, he never saw that young brother again. We can only assume that he went to heaven. Padre Pio prayed for souls to go to heaven. He wanted them to be freed of purgatory, to enjoy the beatific vision as soon as possible. We should pray to Padre Pio that we might also be found worthy to go quickly to heaven and to do some of our purgatory on earth, that we might be admitted into the presence of Almighty God as soon as we can. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about two other fascinating gifts of Padre Pio, the gift of fragrance and the gift of prophecy.
Padre Pio is an example of suffering daily for God, totally, for God on behalf of other souls.
I began to pray to him as an intercessor and to ask him for spiritual guidance. And it just seemed like it was right around that time that I had this tremendous need to go to confession all the time.
Padre Pio's cigar smoke very often, and there was a long time I wasn't aware of what this was. And then I began to read more and more about Padre Pio and found out this was what it was, and I'm very, very aware of Padre Pio's presence.
There was one time when I was writing a letter to my mother, and I was telling her about this wonderful Padre Pio that we had come to know, and how he had become such an important part of our lives, as I was typing this letter to my mother, this fragrance of sweet flowers like violets just was kind of surrounding me, and I didn't know where it was coming from. And then later on, I had remembered reading that the scent of violets used to come from his stigmata wounds.
Welcome back to our presentation on Padre Pio. Today we're focusing on some of the extraordinary gifts that Padre Pio received from Almighty God. In the first half of our program today, we looked at the gift of bilocation and the gift of Padre Pio praying for the souls in purgatory. Let's focus now in this last part of the program on two other rather extraordinary and beautiful gifts, the gift of fragrance and the gift of prophecy. Fragrance, sometimes called aroma or the odor of sanctity, was a gift that God gave to Padre Pio, through which it seemed to be related, by the way, to his wounds. People claimed that the smell might come. People who went to confession to him, who were near to him, seemed to think that this beautiful smell was coming from the wounds of Padre Pio and the stigmata. It was an aroma that gave comfort and assurance to people. And Padre Pio could let people experience it nearby, near to him, or at a distance. People claimed that there were all kinds of fragrances. I had heard one time that there were as many as 10 different kinds of fragrances that people described. Let me share with you a collection of descriptions here that one author put together. He said one woman who had experienced this perfume, or this fragrance rather, over a period of many years, even after Padre Pio's death, claimed that it was, quote, like a scent of roses and violets. Another claimed it was like tobacco. One friar who was the guardian of Padre Pio's friary for a number of years smelled it every day for nearly 3 continuous months during Vespers. He described it as a strong and pleasant odor whose characteristics I cannot describe. Another father who experienced it said, I experienced the perfume twice. I don't know how to describe it. Very beautiful, very nice, but you can't describe it. Another man who had been hospitalized in New York long after Padre Pio's death invoked him. And the following day he tells us, at once I smelled this tremendous smell. It was so strong, I thought it was soap. I thought it was the sheets. So I got up out of bed and started to smell the sheets. They just smelled fresh. But this was not the perfume I was smelling. Then I started to think, maybe Padre Pio is with me. And certainly that fragrance was something that, again, he could give to people. God allowed him to be able to transmit this smell to others far and wide. Now, not everybody smelled it. If it was an experience where a number of people together, some might experience it, some might not. Sometimes individuals didn't experience it at all who were looking and hoping to experience it. I remember one man who was in a second marriage. He was married outside of the church, and he was living in a second marriage that was not blessed by the church. He came to see Padre Pio. And he had been around Padre Pio for a long time. I guess he was hoping to smell this fragrance. And he said to Padre Pio, he said, Padre Pio, people tell me that around you they get this beautiful fragrance and smell. He says, I don't smell anything. And Padre Pio said, well, you know, when a person has a cold and their nose is stuffed, they can't smell anything. He said, some people have a spiritual cold. He was trying to tell him, straighten out your life with God. Then maybe you will be able to receive that fragrance of aroma, odor of sanctity. One friend of mine who shared his experience, that I'd like to share a couple of experiences he had, which dealt with the fragrance, the odor of sanctity. His name was Frank. And Frank had gone after high school over to San Giovanni Rotondo to visit Padre Pio. He had gone along with another American. And he tells me the first experience he had with Padre Pio was in the little corridor between the church and the friary. Padre Pio had finished saying Mass in the church, and he was being wheeled through a crowd of people. There were a number of pilgrims. He said all these pilgrims were from the Philippines. And Padre Pio was being wheeled into the friary. And as Padre Pio was being wheeled through, he said, all the people from the Philippines began to say, what a beautiful aroma, what a beautiful fragrance. They all experienced the smell, the odor of sanctity. The only two who didn't get that odor, that fragrance, were Frank and the other American. So Frank felt cheated. So did the other American. Well, Frank stayed on for 2 weeks. And he couldn't go to Padre Pio for confession because you had to speak Italian. And Padre Pio, and Frank didn't speak Italian, but he attended the Mass of Padre Pio. Well, one particular day, the last day that he was there, he went to say goodbye to a young man. Frank described this guy as a hippie. He went to say goodbye to this hippie whom Padre Pio had converted. And this hippie fellow lived around the friary, or at least worked around the friary. He's helping out in different ways. So Frank went to say goodbye to this hippie. And the hippie said to him, "Frank, would you like to say goodbye to Padre Pio?" And Frank said, "Of course I would, but isn't Padre Pio busy hearing confessions? How am I going to get to see him? How am I going to talk to him? He doesn't speak English." So the hippie told him, "Go in that room over there, Frank. I'll get Padre Pio for you." Well, Frank was in the room, and it dawned on him as he was waiting, "I'm going to be alone in this room with this man, this very holy man." He told me his heart started to pound, and he started to get so nervous and afraid what he's going to say. He said he thought his heart was going to pound so hard it was going to come out of his chest. Well, after a few moments, the door opens, the hippie walks in, and behind him was Padre Pio. So the hippie acted as an interpreter, and he said to Padre Pio, "Padre Pio, this is Frank. He's been here for 2 weeks. He's going back to America. Padre Pio, he wants your blessing." So Padre Pio went like this with his hands, you know, kneeled down. So Frank kneels down, and Padre Pio places his hands on Frank's head, and Frank started to get warm all over. And then he said the whole room became filled with this beautiful smell. He described it as sweet incense burning in church. He said, and then he stood up, he said, and Padre Pio embraced him. And he said when Padre Pio let him go, Frank said he had such a feeling in him that he wanted to go out and convert the whole world for Christ. What an effect Padre Pio had on this young man, Frank. But there was one more experience that Frank and his family had with Padre Pio. And that was, Frank was back at his home on Long Island in New York. And the family was experiencing some difficulties. They had written a letter to Padre Pio, and they received a letter back in return. And as the family began to read the letter, now, there was no scent, there was nothing to that letter at all. They just normally began to read the letter. All of a sudden, Frank told me, the entire house became filled with that sweet smell that he had experienced there at San Giovanni Rotondo. He said again, it smelled like sweet incense burning in church. He told me it lasted for 2 hours. He and his family went around looking. Were there any flowers? Was there a window open that could have had some scent of flowers coming in the house or anything like that? Nothing. And they could only acknowledge the fact that Padre Pio, writing to them, gave them this added blessing and comfort of the fragrance, which reassured them of his prayers and his love for them. And that's why Padre Pio, God gave him that gift, that he might be able to help so many, many people. So that was that beautiful gift of fragrance. Should we look for these things? No. I don't think we should look for the extraordinary. We should look just to do God's will. But sometimes God gives us consolation in many ways. And through this man who was so extraordinarily gifted, this holy priest, God allowed him to give that gift to his spiritual children when they needed it. As I said, many people who lived with him didn't experience these things at all. But when people would be in need of it, comforting, reassuring them, Padre Pio was able to use that gift to help them. Now, the final gift he had was the gift of prophecy. He seemed to have an extraordinary knowledge about things in people's lives that even those people didn't know. It's amazing. The superiors asked him one time, "How do you know these things about people?" He answered, he said, "I see everything in Christ." In other words, he through his understanding of Jesus, he could sense things about their lives. It's almost like, you know, in the saints in heaven. How do the saints know when we pray them? We have people praying to these saints from all over the world. How does the Blessed Mother know everything of all the people praying to her all over the world at the same time? She sees them all in God. And God being eternal, you know, an eternal now, she sees all these things in that dimension of God. And that's how Padre Pio seemed to understand it. One beautiful story was a story about Dr. Sanguinetti. Dr. Sanguinetti was the doctor who helped Padre Pio build his hospital. He had come down from Bologna with his wife. Reluctantly, he had promised that he would give her any wedding anniversary gift she wanted. The only thing she wanted was for him to accompany her to see Padre Pio. And he went down there reluctantly. He wasn't a very practicing Catholic. And Padre Pio saw this doctor and he said, "Doctor, I've been waiting for you." And the doctor was surprised. He says, "Doctor, you're the one that's going to have to build my hospital." And sure enough, he converted Dr. Sanguinetti. And Dr. Sanguinetti said, "Padre Pio, I can't come right away. I've got a lot of bills. I have to pay them." Padre Pio told him, "Go back to Bologna where you live. Buy a lottery ticket. You win the lottery and you pay all your bills." And sure enough, that's what happened. Another example that I heard myself from the man who was involved a Capuchin bishop named Bishop Magliacani. His name was Louis Magliacani. Father Louis Magliacani had been a missionary working in India for a number of years. In 1948, he returned to India to visit his family that lived in Italy. Now, he told me that while he was in India, he was in charge of a newspaper that for the Catholics there in India. He would translate articles from that many people in Italy would send him. He would translate them for the newspaper there in India. Many of them dealt with Padre Pio. But he told me he personally didn't believe in Padre Pio. He thought he was a fake. He thought he was deceiving people. Well, anyway, he had come back to Italy in 1948. He had visited his family. And he was ready to go back to India. He was going to go by way of ship, leaving Naples, going down onto Africa, and going up to India that way. He had his ticket, passport, and even the obedience of the general. And somebody suggested to him to go see Padre Pio. And he said, "Well, he's a fake." And the person insisted, "Well, why don't you at least see him first?" So he went, and the first thing Padre Pio told him was, "Father Luigi, are you the priest from India?" And he said, "Yes." And he was wondering how he knew him. And at the end of the conversation, Padre Pio told him, "Father Luigi, you will never go back to India. God has worked for you in Arabia." Well, he thought this was crazy. There were no Capuchins in Arabia. There was no mission of Capuchins in Arabia. So he told Padre Pio, "Before I came here, I thought you were crazy. Now I know you are. I got my ticket, my passport." Padre Pio smiled at him, "Father, you will never go back." Father Luigi stayed for a meal. He got a phone call from a cardinal in Rome, from the Propagation of Faith. Told him, "Come back immediately to Rome. Don't get on the ship." He went back, and about 3 days later, had an audience with Pope Pius XII. And Pius XII said to him, "Father Luigi, you have been chosen to open a new mission in Arabia." And he said to the Pope, he said, "Your Holiness, I knew that." And Pope Pius XII said, "How could you know that? Only the cardinal and the head of your order knew, and I knew. How could you know that?" He said, "Padre Pio told me. Now I realize he's a saint." So Padre Pio knew many, many things that he was able to help people with. God bless you.